You are listening to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks again for joining me this week. Lots of stuff to talk about. Another great guest in the interview room waiting. So let's get right into it. There is a very scary statistic that I just read, and this just came from a U.S. Justice Department and Gallup poll. They did some information seeking, and this will probably not come as a surprise to anyone, but police-initiated contacts last year fell by 8 million. That is a significant drop in police-initiated public contact. So what does that mean to the people and to the police? It means depolicing is very much ingrained in our law enforcement agencies now. We have already seen a major decrease in the contacts, self-initiated contacts by law enforcement over the last several years. So for us to see another diminishment by 8 million is a this is a major statement about that law enforcement is not being as aggressive as they were prior to the social troubles that began after Ferguson. And here's the incongruity of this. So the Bureau of Justice and Gallup that did this, study, there were already, a number of studies that have been done. There was a crime decreased, actually, in a lot of cities, but violent crime increased in a lot of cities. But here's something interesting. The portion of U.S. residents aged 19 or older who had experienced contact with the police in the preceding 12 months, well, they declined from 26% in 2011 to 21% in 2015. Now, here's something else that's interesting, is that the great majority of people, when they reported these contacts, they believe that their police officers involved behaved properly and they had respect for them. So this is a double-edged sword here. One, we have less self-initiated activity. And what that means in reality is that they're stopping less cars. They're stopping less people for suspicious conduct. And that is where crimes are generally either solved or prevented because of those contacts. When we see a diminishment like this, that means that law enforcement officers are not making as many self-initiated stops because of a myriad of reasons, which include the public perception, not wanting to be the next social media star with a little bit of videotape. It means not wanting to be prosecuted in the event that a stop goes bad and you have to use force. And it's really very telling about the state of law enforcement in this nation. You know how verbal I am about my views on this topic. If we don't get back to policing the way that it should be done, and that is by being aggressive in the approach, not being cruel, inhumane, but being aggressive in the approach to law enforcement, we are going to continue to see violent crime rise and arrests diminish. Because that is the second part of this issue. The more stops you make, the more opportunity you have to do records checks and warrants checks, take fugitives off the street, and also to make probable cause arrests based on what you find when you're making the stops, including guns, including drugs. So this report is not unexpected, but it is disheartening. And what it does show is a continued diminishment of law enforcement in America. Now, maybe one of the reasons is from an article that I read in Law Officer. LawOfficer.com and is an online magazine. It is the only online law enforcement magazine that is actually owned and operated by an active duty law enforcement officer, Commander Travis Yates from Tulsa, Oklahoma PD. Now, he did a very interesting article called The Apology of Law Enforcement. And I'm going to read just a paragraph of this. Union County, Arkansas Sheriff Ricky Roberts recently apologized for booking photos emerging of prisoners wearing Nike shirts. He had been accused by this guy who calls himself a journalist, Sean King, of using the shirts to mock the protests of Colin Kaepernick. King is no stranger to deception. He recently published a story of a Texas trooper sexually assaulting a woman, which was a complete hoax. And the trooper he named received death threats, and King refused to apologize. But this really isn't about Sean King. This is about another law enforcement leader apologizing for doing nothing wrong. You see, the fact is that this sheriff had a number of these shirts in storage, and if people who were arrested didn't have a shirt on or a proper attire, he'd give them a shirt. And nothing to do with making a statement about Colin Kaepernick or anything else. But here's what he said. We have taken steps to rectify this issue and ensure this will never happen again. I understand the concerns of those who may have found this offensive, and for that I apologize. Well, he's got nothing to apologize for. And the fact of the matter is that apologizing by law enforcement when it's not necessary is more of a symptom of acquiescing to public perception and to the social media and media culture of today. If you don't have anything to apologize for, don't apologize. Explain it and then move on with your business. If we continue to bow down to anyone that gets offended when law enforcement has done nothing wrong, then law enforcement is crumbling from the tired and abusive assaults that they frankly don't deserve. And that's this is from the article in Law Officer, and I really couldn't agree more. I was really offended when during 2 years ago at the International Association of Chiefs of Police conference, which is the largest association of law enforcement leaders, instead of addressing all of the major issues facing law enforcement, especially the deaths and serious injuries of police officers on the upswing, the president of the association instead apologized about policing, about the historical abuses that police officers committed 50, 60, 100 years ago. I find it absurd, and unfortunately, I have seen so many law enforcement leaders coming out publicly and apologizing for things that they have no reason to apologize for. And all that does is break the morale of their police department, who watches their leader apologizing for their agencies, even though they really had done nothing wrong. So that's that may be one reason why police officers are not being as aggressive as they should be and as they used to be. There is a little bit of good news on the horizon, I would say, and that is something that's happening in Idaho. Now, you know, if you've listened to my podcast or my radio show and you have read my Facebook posts, and if you haven't, you need to go to Facebook and look under Randy Sutton Public Figure. You will find that I have been very, very concerned about the mental health of our law enforcement officers across this nation. And I constantly have interviews with experts in the field and really am proactive about getting officers into areas where they can be helped with emotional difficulty. You know, facing the challenges of law enforcement, takes a mighty toll on many. And so there is nothing strange or weird about seeking help for dealing with the death and the violence and all the other things that you see in the cruelty and inhumanity. But sometimes it is frowned upon, and there are actually police agencies, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you this, that if an officer goes in and asks for help, they will be terminated. So as a result, you have many, many police officers who are suffering from post-traumatic stress injury. Now, that's stress injury, not disorder, because many of these issues are injuries that can be treated, and they're not disorders. But Idaho is apparently going to do something about it. Idaho lawmakers seek to provide mental health coverage for first responders. They have drafted legislation to include psychological injury as a condition that must be covered by Idaho's workers' compensation law for first responders. I cannot emphasize enough how important this step is. Now, once again, if you've been following me for any length of time, you know that I talk about this topic often, and I am creating an organization that is about to be launched called The Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Check it out. This is an organization that will assist law enforcement officers with not only mental health treatment, getting into treatment, but to provide peer support for wounded officers, either wounded physically or psychologically. Now, this law that I just told you about is imperative that it be not only passed in Idaho, but be adopted by states all over the country. There are just now states that are recognizing that psychological injuries, post-traumatic stress, is in fact from the job. And as such, it's no different than breaking your leg. These officers have a right to be treated for that. And they have the right to have this adjudged a workers' compensation injury. So I'm very happy to see that Idaho is doing it. There are a number of other states that are doing it, including Texas and several others. These laws are in their infancy, though, and many of them still fall short of being comprehensive. This is one of the things that we must fight for, not only law enforcement, but those who support law enforcement officers across this country. Now, before we go into the interview room, I've got one more thing to say, and this one is one of those things that will probably get your blood pressure up. I know it did mine. This guy running for governor in Texas, Andrew Gillum, he can't seem to stop saying anti-police stuff. Reported last week about it. Now again, this time, this guy is the elected Tallahassee mayor, who, by the way, is under investigation for corruption. Just a little side note. But he is, this is mind-boggling to me. He's the front runner in the Texas governor's race. Now, what he just said will blow your mind. It was about police. And he says, well, I'm not anti-police. But at the time that a law enforcement official has to go to a weapon, to a gun, to a baton, to a taser, then they have already gone too far. By their very presence, by the very trust they inspire in the community, they are supposed to be able to bring most situations to heel. Is this guy out of his mind? What planet does he live on? Now he's criticizing cops for even using any of their weapons and saying that they've gone too far if they have to utilize a taser or a baton or a weapon. This is absolute madness. And how this guy has gotten so far that he may be elected governor is mind-boggling to me and must mean that there is something in the water in Florida that people are drinking that must possess some type of hallucinogenic quality, because this guy is an idiot. He is anti-law enforcement. He makes no bones about it, and he's under investigation for corruption and voter fraud. Well, that's just great. He's exactly who you want as your governor. So this is the election is coming up. If you are down in Florida, please take a look at this moron again. If you were thinking about voting for him, don't. He's an idiot. And that, my friends, is my view from the blue. If you're a police officer, or if you are a spouse or a family member, one of the things that is very necessary to help save lives are the ballistic vests and the body armor that police officers wear. The problem with that is that they're uncomfortable. They're hot, especially in the summertime. They get wet, they get sweaty, they get nasty, and it's part of the deal. I mean, you gotta wash them, you gotta take care of them, and that's one of the problems with having a ballistic vest. There is a new product, and I kind of like it. They call it StinkyVest.com. That's the company, and they arrest odors. I love it. And this is really good stuff. And it's not, you don't have to just use it for vests. It's good for all kinds of odors, hampers, the whole bit. And it's really effective stuff. It won't harm your skin. It's really a necessity. If you wear ballistic body armor, or if you want to use it for just home use, this is some really good stuff. And it's only available at StinkyVest.com. Go take a look at it. It's put out by a law enforcement organization, and it eliminates odors without harmful chemicals, pet odors, the whole bit. So check it out. That's StinkyVest.com. See their products, and it is worthwhile. For those of you who are involved in investigative work, there is an amazing software that you've got to take a look at from Blue Light LLC. And Blue Light is a company owned by a retired Special Forces Sergeant Major. He is a strong supporter of law enforcement. And this software is amazing. It is incredible for conspiracy investigations, narcotics investigations, homicide. It's called Analyst Notebook. And it's a product that has been used very, very successfully in bringing down a lot of bad guys. The reason the Special Forces Sergeant Major got involved in it is because he used to use it in the Middle East for discovering IED, improvised explosive devices, originators, and their networks. But it's great for civilian police work. So check it out, Blue Light LLC's Analyst Notebook, and it is an amazing product. Check it out.
The Out and Out Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
With me today in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is a police wife who has started a nationwide organization to support the men and women of law enforcement. Her name is Deborah Costello. She is the wife of a Las Vegas Metropolitan Police officer, and she has started an organization called Police Wives of America. Deborah, thanks so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
So let's talk about your organization. First of all, What was the impetus for you to create such an organization?
Well, back in 2016, we had a lot of tragedies nationwide, and there was three separate tragedies right on the heels of each other, which is what led me to start it. There was the Dallas massacre, and then there was a captain in the Midwest back in Kansas that had got killed, and then there was the Baton Rouge killings that happened. And so when the series of them happened, particularly the Dallas one, it set off a lot of panic within our Las Vegas Metro Police Wives group. And we all remembered what had happened when two of our officers were ambushed a few years prior. And so we had done a lot of taking food to our officers here in Las Vegas when our tragedy had happened. And years later, we'd still had many officers thanking us for what we did at that time. So when Dallas happened, I said to some of the girls, we need to do something to focus our energy in a positive direction to help kind of put everybody's nerves to rest a little. So over a day and a half period of time, I told the ladies, I said, let's send lunch to Dallas. So we collected about $3,600 over a day and a half, and we had planned to order food down in Dallas and have it delivered to all the area commands. Well, our plans evolved, and five of us ended up flying down there, and we went and personally delivered the food to the third watch shift of the Dallas Police Department, which was the shift that was working at the time of their massacre. And in my communication with one of the sergeants down there as we were planning the trip, she had said, if you guys are looking to extend a little more love and support to any first responders, she said that the fire departments that had the medics there locally were having a really hard time rebounding from what had happened. So we took to five different fire stations while we were down there, and one of the firemen said, first of all, they were really surprised that police wives were bringing food to a fire station. The one said, I would love for my wife to be a part of something like that. And so we did our deliveries the rest of the day. And the last station we stopped at down in Dallas, one of the officers that had been shot that day came out with us to walk back to our cars when we were getting ready to leave. And he was really emotional, and he thanked us for what we had done. And he said, you guys have no idea what this means that you would come down here just for this, because we were leaving their station and going back to the airport. And I told him, I said, well, we hope we can inspire wives across America to get out and support you guys. We know you guys have a really hard job and morale is low in a lot of departments. And he said, that would be great. So I got on the plane that night, and I thought about what had just happened in Kansas. I'd actually been home when that captain had got killed, and I mobilized a few things with some of my family back there, and we went down and took a bunch of stuff to the police department there. And then with Baton Rouge, we sent them $905 Starbucks cards and some Metro little poker chips and stuff. So on that night home, while I was thinking about what we had been doing, that was when Police Wives of America was born. We had had one wife that had gone with us that had asked us if we did this on a regular basis of taking things like this to departments. And I said no, and she told me that she followed some of the national wives organizations. And I know, having started our Las Vegas Wives group almost 9.5 years ago, how much work goes into it. And when you start it and you don't have a lot of guidance, you're kind of feeling your way through. It can be overwhelming. So I thought, well, there's nothing out there that I'm aware of that kind of platforms police wives in service and support to their officers and their community. So I decided to take what we had done here locally and try to create a template that ladies across America could take free of charge, and implement it where they were. And then I took wives from groups that I knew about across the country, and I asked them if I could add them into a private group to kind of mentor and encourage those that were starting that might have questions along the way. And we kicked off, and that's how we came about.
That's a great story. I can see that the wives of police officers all over this country, many of them are looking to participate in something that would be supportive and helpful. And now you're giving them, basically, you're giving them the template for success in how to create an organization. I think that's probably the best way to describe it, don't you?
Yeah. I think there, I oftentimes read the little comments on 10 things you didn't know about law enforcement families or whatever on Facebook. And over the years, as I've looked, sometimes there will be ones that will mention like having a support structure in place for their department. And a lot of times people say, we don't have anything like that, I wish. And then you have the flip side where wives can be catty, and their husbands and their departments don't encourage anything like that. But I've found if you have a mission and you are service-oriented, it really cuts down on the cattiness and just kind of sitting around talking. And it really gives you the ability to make a big difference in the lives of your blue family around you. So having done that, when I had first started our Metro Wives group, I'd kind of looked on how to start it, even with the website. And it was about $700 to buy a template. Well, when you're starting a group, the funds aren't available to you like that. And so I didn't want there to be anything that would really come in people's ways to prevent them from having the ability to create that important support structure that they need for themselves and their department.
How has this been received around the country? I mean, it's a fairly new organization. When did you begin this nationwide organization?
We launched March of 2017, so a little over a year ago.
Okay, so a little over a year. How many people have become involved in the organization since then?
Well, we have, we don't really have membership, but we've helped between 15 to 20 ladies establish groups across the country so far. And we've connected with thousands of wives in different places. When we had the October 1 tragedy here in Las Vegas, it was really cool to see a lot of the wives that we had connected with over the years just been sending things of encouragement to them and their department. And then now dealing with them, some of them through Police Wives America and helping them start groups. We had so many of them come back and send us messages or send us things in the mail. We're here for you guys. We're thinking about you guys. We support you. And social media, it has its downsides, but when it comes to organizing and communicating with those in difficult times, like, it's top notch. It was really awesome to just be able to unite and connect with your sisters in blue across America so easily.
I can understand that there's got to be some tremendous stories that come out of this. When you're interacting with wives from around the country, how have they viewed what their role is? I mean, do they look at what you have created here in Vegas and then say, we want to recreate that here in our town? Is that how it usually goes?
Yeah, so we have a organizational flowchart for what we do here on Metro Wives. Our department, understandably, is a lot bigger than a lot of departments that we're dealing with.
Sure.
I mean, we've been helping the El Paso Live for the last year. Their department's about 1,000 officers. So it's kind of depending on what size their department is. We send them the organizational chart we have here to look at and kind of get a feel for what areas they feel might benefit their department specifically. I always encourage them to start small, to make those connections with lives from within their department, whether they set up a little picnic in the park or some kind of outing movie night or something. Kind of get a little bit of connection and then maybe start with doing meal trains. Meal trains are something that here locally in Las Vegas, we're great at. We do a lot of meal trains. I think within the last year, we've done like 300 meals.
Explain what a meal train is.
So meal train is, there's a website, mealtrain.com, and you go in and you, it sets you up as the organizer. You put the wife or the family's name, their address, a way to contact them, what days you're looking to fill meals, if they have any allergies or any dislikes, food dislikes or whatever. And so you set it up initially, that one thing, and then that's all you do. Then ladies will go and they'll select dates and they'll book dates and what food they're taking. So we do that a lot for families, whether the officer might have been injured in the line of duty. We had a family we did one for 5 months who had a little child that had cancer that was terminal, and we didn't want her to have to worry about feeding her kids for the whole time she was trying to tend to her child that was terminal.
Oh, wow.
So we did a meal train for them for 5 months. We have ladies that are battling cancer, so we'll do meal trains for their family just at various different times. Some of them might be joyous. We do meal trains for women that just, some of their wives that just have babies, but it's a very easy way for people to be a part of something simple. Sometimes I encourage people to sign up even if they don't cook. You know, with even all the Grubhub and those types of things, you can easily order a meal and have it delivered and still be able to bless that family in that time.
Sure.
It's just a really easy website that allows you to make a difference through a meal.
What else does the wives group do? What's the role?
Well, we do a lot of stuff. As far as support stuff, we have like emergency child care that's available for officers or their wives in the event. When my husband's been injured, he's been injured on duty. It's usually been in the middle of the night. And so it's like, wow, who do I know around here that can watch my four kids while I run to the hospital? So we've worked on organizing wives within different areas of the valley that are available to drop your kids off in the event that you need somebody and don't have somebody. We do critical care kit bags, which have all the basic necessities if an officer is in the hospital and his wife comes down. We had one last year, was down from Pahrump, and so she had no way to go home and get some clothes and get the toiletries she needed. So we have bags that we have already made. They have a couple meal gift cards in them, a toothbrush, brush, deodorant, all that kind of stuff, some snacks and drinks, some gum, a pencil and paper, just kind of to help them while they're kind of trying to get themselves together and not have to worry about running out and getting some Tylenol for that headache they might have.
Right.
We do a lot of those. We do. We have an officer who lost his wife last year to cancer after 3 weeks of finding out she had cancer, and he had a 2.5-year-old at the time. So for the last year, we've gone in every other week, and we'll go in and clean his house for him and just kind of help him adjust into this life of being a single dad while he's still out serving our community and protecting others. As far as things we do for our department, we help with family night when they plan family night. We do police week. We assemble bags for all of the officers, just a little token of our love and support, thinking of them during that week while they remember their fallen comrades. We have mentoring and support, which is kind of helping ladies that we have quite a few widows within our group now, so they're willing to kind of help mentor and talk to the ones that are coming behind them, and kind of guide them through the process. We have a group for those battling cancer. Those are just probably some of the top. There's probably 25 on our flow chart, but those are some come to the top of my mind.
Well, it sounds like you're touching the lives of a lot of people around the United States and supporting law enforcement at the same time. When as you're rolling this out, you're only a year old, so it's you're fairly young young organization. It sounds like it's mm-hmm. it's more of a loosely organized group that basically you provide support to local groups that want to create something on the model that you've done here in Las Vegas. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. Mm-hmm.
And then
so it's a matter of women wanting to take on that role. It takes a lot of time, and it's not done for any money. So I think that's some of the hesitation with people doing it is just, one, they're not sure what exactly they're going to do. And then some people have different roads, different obstacles with which, but we're here to really help facilitate and make that easier, kind of be their cheerleaders as they do that.
How has the reception been by police agencies around the country?
We've had really good reception, actually. Right now we're working on a project that we've been working on for the last year where we created pendants for fallen officers' spouses. And we've engraved the back of them with the wife's name, a little note, and then her fallen officer's badge number and name. And so we've been calling across America to all the different agencies, collecting contacts with which we might be able to send these pendants to get to these widows. And we've actually had a lot of departments that have been really surprised and very encouraged and thankful for us remembering those fallen officers' families in that way. And we've even had a officer, a sergeant from a police department reach out to me recently asking for some help that they were trying to do there at his department. And so it's been good. We've made a lot of different contacts with wives and departments, just kind of reaching out, knowing that we've done it for a while and kind of trying to get a little knowledge based off of experience here.
What's your thoughts about making it, instead of a loosely based organization, have you thought about the possibilities of creating this on a similar scale as the organization COPS, Concerns of Police Survivors, where you have chapters in different states? Is that ever entered into the possibility, or you want to pretty much keep it loosely based?
No, that is something we talked about. I mean, right now when we have ladies that reach out for starting wives groups, one thing I noticed relatively soon after we started helping wives establish wives groups was that some of them didn't feel that they had much credibility establishing a group without a group logo or image. And so that was something that we started doing. We would say, okay, give us the name that you want to be the face of your organization that you're going to begin, and we'll create the logo for you. So with that, like, we've started creating the logo. We create the group for them with all the content in it. We create the public page on Facebook for them. and kind of tie it all together so that it's a template package that they're ready to run with.
So basically, so you're, we have you're giving them all the tools to get up and going, and to you're basically giving them a step-by-step instruction in how to create a support organization.
Yeah, so we take all the work out of it by creating all of it for them. Then we add them as the administrator, and then we jump off and let them run it the way they want. Then they're in a group that has just WISE leaders across the country, and if they have any questions, there's those within that group that can kind of help guide and steer them different ways. And I mean, even I think most of us in the group that are kind of more in the mentoring roles, Police Wives of Ohio has a great ground game up there. There's a few ladies down in Arkansas that have a really good organization. They've been working the last few years. Those of us even that have been doing it for a while, we don't have any corner on the market. There's constantly new things we're learning, even from some of the girls that are just starting. We're like, wow, that's a great idea. But that gives them, it as a WISE group leader, you deal with very unique challenges that others don't necessarily deal with. So to have other people that you can come to look for that guidance and support, I think takes a little bit of the fear of it away from, oh, I feel like I'm doing this by myself without knowing what to do.
Sure.
So we have talked about, so when we are creating logos, the logos we are creating for people are similar to what our Police Wives of America logo is. Eventually, we might end up doing that. I just hadn't thought about doing it when we first started, because I didn't want there to be any type of financial issues for anybody that wanted that support and didn't have the money to begin with it.
Sure.
So that's a next level. We probably will take it over time.
That's great. So how do you get funded? I mean, you're a 501c3, you're a nonprofit. How do you collect donations?
We collect donations strictly by people that believe in what we're doing and donate to us. A lot of how we've been funding things lately is through merchandise that we sell through our store online on our website. That kind of helps us fund a lot of things. Humanizing the Badge, Mike the Cop and Officer Daniels were out here right after the October 1 tragedy, and they knew that we were trying to fund all the pendants for last year, so they went on Facebook Live and they helped us finish raising the funds that we didn't have to complete all of the pendants that we were creating last year for all of the officers last year.
Well, that was nice.
So that was a really huge help for that. But it's mainly just through officers and businesses that we contact that want to be a part of what we're doing.
What is the website?
It's policewivesofamerica.org.
policewivesofamerica.org. And people can go onto that website, see exactly what you're doing, and also donate through the website.
Yeah, and we also have a spot on there, Find Wives, where we have put...
Sounds like a dating site.
It sounds like
a dating site.
It's a dating site for police wives to connect. They can go on and look for their state, and if we know of any WISE groups within their state, we've listed them there to try and make it easy for them to plug into a support system where they are locally. There are a lot of WISE groups online that are national groups, and they're great to have just that camaraderie and sisterhood available to you, but there's nothing that compares to having a support system hands-on when the rubber meets the road and you need a hug.
I couldn't agree more. I really applaud, you know, where you have taken this from a concept to a reality, from a local Las Vegas organization to sharing this on a national basis. And I'm sure that the adventure has just begun for you, because this is something that is clearly picking up steam and momentum. And the most important thing here is you're touching the lives of our nation's police officers. who in this particular time and space need all the support that they can get.
Yes, it's a challenging time to be an officer and to be the officer's family here at home. I mean, we have four kids here, me and my husband, and our kids are, they've grown up in this all of their lives. Our daughter was born during my husband's academy. And as you see the different things that happen around you, it's definitely hard to walk through as your children kind of understand. I mean, my kids oftentimes see our fallen officers' children here when we do things for their anniversaries and their birthdays or holidays. So it's something that they're very aware of. They see these children that have grown over the last 5 years that have no father. And to walk through those emotions with your children as they get older, or just dealing with it yourself when your husband is injured or those ones that have lost, it's a great way, it's a great thing to have a group of sisters that you can kind of fall back on and walk through it.
I'm sure. So once again, the website is
PoliceWivesOfAmerica.org. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Pinterest. We're
so
everywhere.
we're everywhere. So for all of my listeners, this is a great organization to support. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their website. And Deb, thanks so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, and sharing your story about Police Wives of America.
Thank you, Randy. Thanks for all you do out there, putting your voice out in defense of our officers and making sure things are addressed and stayed on top of.
I
We appreciate you.
thank you so much. For those of you who have been following my Facebook page and listening to my radio show, seeing me on television, you probably know this already, but if you don't, I have a number of books that are on Amazon.com. The last one was just released about a month and a half ago. It's called The Power of Legacy: Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. My other three books were all law enforcement related. This one is not. It's about real heroes, people who have done amazing things in their lives, where I actually asked them who it was in their life that inspired them. And there are some truly inspirational stories in this. People who have risen above incredible trauma to go on and live incredible lives. Please take a look. Go to Amazon.com, check it out, or go to my website, randysuttonspeaks.com. And by the way, I'm also available for keynote addresses and inspirational speaking at your conference. So check it out, randysuttonspeaks.com, or check out the books at amazon.com. Those of you who have followed me for any length of time know that in addition to being a 33-year law enforcement officer, I'm also an author. I've written four books: True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them; A Cop's Life; True Blue to Protect and Serve; and my latest book, which was actually just released only a couple weeks ago, is The Power of Legacy: Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. It's a much different book than what I've written before, but it is truly an inspirational book because I had traveled the country talking to people who have done amazing things with their lives, people like Frank Shankwitz, who, when he was an Arizona State Trooper, created the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Gary Sinise, who's done amazing things for military and law enforcement, and a number of people, some names you know, some names you don't, but this book is full of inspiration. Changed my life doing this book. Now, here's something I'm going to share with you. I have a lot of Facebook followers, more than 25,000 of them. But Facebook is not allowing me to share the message of my book. I think they call it shadow banning, and it's very, very disturbing. So I'm going to ask your help. First of all, I would love for you to go to Amazon.com. It's available on Kindle. It's available on audiobook, and of course in hardcover and softcover.
I would love for you to pick up a copy of this book, share it with your children, because it is full of inspiration about how everyone can become a personal hero. But I'd also ask you to share this information with your friends on Facebook and other social media, because I'm fighting an uphill battle. Shadow banning is a real thing. I go to share it with my followers, and it keeps on getting unapproved, saying it's too political. There's nothing political about this book. It's about good people. I'd ask for you to share this message. I need your help to get this message out, because this book can change the world. When you talk about becoming a personal hero, you change the life of one person. You add to that person's life, and you change the world. So if you would, check me out on Amazon.com. All my books are available there. But The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. And I appreciate your support.
End of Watch with Randy Sutton.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay our respects to the men and women of the profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice and died in the line of duty. This week, I have three names to read. The first is Assistant Chief of Police Dennis Vincent of the Brigham City Police Department in Utah. Assistant Chief of Police Dennis Vincent died 1 week after suffering a brain aneurysm while participating in his annual physical fitness test at the Box Elder High School track on October 18, 2018. He collapsed during a portion of the test and was taken to the University of Utah Hospital, where he remained until passing away on October 26th. Assistant Chief Vincent has served with the Brigham City Police for 24 years. He previously served with the Willard Police Department for 4 years. He is survived by his wife, 4 sons, 3 grandchildren, and 3 siblings. Assistant Chief of Police Dennis Vincent, Brigham City Police, End of Watch, Friday, October 26, 2018. The second is Investigator Farrah Turner of the Florence County Sheriff's Office in South Carolina. Investigator Farrah Turner suffered fatal gunshot wounds when she and other investigators from the Florence County Sheriff's Office arrived at a home to interview a suspect as part of a sex offense investigation. Sergeant Terrence Carraway of the Florence Police Department was shot and killed while responding to assist the wounded deputies at a house off of Vintage Drive. Another subject in the house opened fire on the deputies as they approached the house, wounding all 3. The man then positioned himself in a vantage point in a second floor window, giving him a full view of fire of several hundred yards. Sergeant Carraway, along with 3 other Florence police officers, responded to the scene and were attempting to rescue the 3 wounded deputies when the subject opened fire on them too, shooting all 4. The subject remained barricaded inside of his home for 2 hours before being taken into custody. All of the wounded officers were transported to a local hospital, where Sergeant Carraway succumbed to his wounds. Investigator Turner underwent 9 surgeries and remained in critical condition until succumbing to her wounds on October 22nd. Investigator Farrah Turner, Florence County Sheriff's Office, South Carolina, End of Watch, Monday, October 22nd, 2018. The third officer to die in the line of duty is a little different, and the reason I'm saying that is because Officer Ricardo Davis was killed in the line of duty this week also, but he is an auxiliary police officer. That is an unpaid volunteer police officer with the Washington Park, Illinois Police Department. He died while chasing 2 suspects and fell from a bridge, receiving fatal injuries. Unfortunately, in the world of law enforcement, is not being lauded as an on-duty police officer because of his status. I believe he should be, because he is a hero, because he wore the badge and he did it for nothing. So, Officer Ricardo Davis, End of Watch, this week in Washington Park, Illinois. May all of these officers rest in peace. I want to thank you for tuning in this week to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. You know, we do our best to get the word out here on this particular show about the plight of the American law enforcement officer, those issues facing them, and the people that support them. By tuning in and listening to my show, you do show your support. Please check out thewoundedblue.org, because we are about to launch that that organization, and I think that you will find something on that website that you will find very encouraging. Thewoundedblue.org. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.